This is God's word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Okay. Well, welcome to you all. Kids with us today. Kids, this is passing out, and for the rest of us, what we are doing today in the service is we're going to encourage you to work on this this idea of listening and paying attention. So please listen up as best you can. And what I'd like you to do now is I'd like the kids to draw some pictures where you are a spy sent on a secret mission into a scary place. So go ahead and draw that. You can draw the sunglasses. You can draw pretend the theme song is playing in your head. And we will come back to that in a moment. So in our sermon series, we are in the 15th chapter of John. And if you remember from last week, what we talked about is this section of John is, we're calling it the departure discourses. Jesus has told his friends, his disciples, that he is about to leave them. And in chapter 14, he repeats this phrase, do not be troubled, because his friends have come to depend on him greatly. And when you depend on someone greatly and they tell you, I am going away for a long time, it is a troubling thing to hear. And what Jesus will do is he will continue in chapter 15 this teaching that is centered on the idea, how is it that you are to thrive as a disciple and follower of Jesus in a place that is absolutely hostile to what he stands for? That's what Jesus will take up. We will cover next week, just to show you the connection, I want to give you a little bit of introduction into this. Just following our section here, we end in 17, Jesus has this to say. He says, if the world hates you, it might hate you. Know that it has hated me before it hated you. And that kind of makes it ambiguous. Will the world hate me? I'm not sure. If they do, know that this is true. But then he goes on to say, just a couple sentences later, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if you're new to this Christianity stuff, we'd like to let you in on a reality that people very much persecuted Jesus. Jesus lived, quote, as a man of sorrows, a man to whom the world was against him. And Jesus says, if you are my disciple, if you follow in my footsteps, if you claim to belong to me, you have to understand that the world will persecute you. And he uses this word, they will hate you. And I am sending you out into this world without me with you in the flesh to carry out a mission. And the question that arises in the minds of the disciples, and perhaps is arising in your mind as well, is why in the world would you do that, Jesus? Right? Is Jesus cruel? Is he just kind of like, yeah, look, I did my time on here on this earth and I'm done, so good luck with that. I'll see you in heaven. Have fun. Why is it that Jesus would do this to you? Why would he send you into a world that is hostile to those things that you stand for, and then he would leave? Why would he do that? You know, as I thought about this question, I thought about the particular pain that is associated with someone being against you. Right? Sometimes we suffer because we're sick. Right? Sometimes we suffer because, you know, just things happen to have to happen to us, right? You know, our car breaks down, or we don't get the appointment that we wanted to get at the doctor's, right? Just those things happen in life. But what about those times in your life where you are called to be around other people? Maybe it's family, maybe it's friends, maybe it's coworkers, and you know that they hate you, that they actually despise you. Think about how that feels. Right? There's a peculiar pain to that that goes beyond simply something being unpleasant. There's something that can strike at the core of your soul. And Jesus says, this is going to be your reality, friends. This will happen at one time or another. I'm sending you here. Why am I sending you here? Why am I doing this? Well, he will give us a little clue in verse 11. He says, these things I've spoken to you, my instruction. Why? That my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. You see, what Jesus is after in this teaching, what I'm after in the planting of this church, is I'm after your joy being full. Notice that word. He says, it's possible that you have joy on occasion. It just, you know, wow, I feel joy today. And then there's the idea that your joy can be full, that there can be nothing stopping its rise in your soul. And Jesus says, the teaching I've given to you today, sending you out into a world that's hostile, is for your joy. So kids, what I would like you to do is I would like you to, as you've drawn this person on this spy mission, I'd like you to draw people chasing after him. And here are the answers to the questions for the kids. What is the mission that Jesus gave me to do while he is gone? Answer, to grow and change. We'll come back to that for the adults. Why is the mission so hard? Answer, because I have enemies in the world who will hate me. All right, so. Now, what is this mission that God has given us to do? Well, we've noticed that in verse 16, let me draw your attention to this. Jesus says this. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should, what? Go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. What Jesus is saying here is he's saying, me sending you out into a world that's hostile to you and me departing and asking you to do that without me in the flesh, I did not do that simply by accident. So kids, let me ask you a question here. How many of you kids have had this question raised to you by a parent? You know, something happens in the household and they get really stern and they look you in the eyes. And kids, I need you guys to listen because you're going to have to answer this, right? How many of you kids have ever had a parent look at you and say, did this thing that happened, you know, dumping the cereal bowl on your sister, was that on accident or on purpose? How many of you have ever received that question, right? How many of you have ever dumped a cereal bowl on your sister? Okay, thank you, Nathan. That explains a lot about my intern here. So what the parent is getting at is this difference between accidental or purposeful. What if your parent asks you that, what they're trying to ascertain is, did something just happen, right? Because maybe you weren't paying attention and the circumstances were such that, you know, you were watching TV and you didn't notice that the bowl just fell over. Or did you think about it? Did you plan it out? Did you craft and scheme and design and to say, I can get this angle just right and it can go, it will be beautiful. It will be a work of art, right? And what Jesus is saying in this teaching is he's saying, you ending up in this hostile place, you going through hard things, you being around people that hate you, that's on purpose, friends. I chose you. I have appointed you. Listen to that word appointed, right? We talk about a politician appointing people to serve. I've appointed you. Why? That you would go and that you would change as a result of going. That's this idea behind bearing fruit, and that your fruit should abide. I have designed that you would go to a hard place, to a hard time, and that you would grow as a result of this. Now, what's happening here in this teaching? Well, to remind you back to what we covered last week, in chapter 14, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, what I'm doing is I'm going away, and it's better that I go away. Why? Why is it better that I go away? Answer, because when I go away, this person called the Spirit, or the Spirit of Truth, the Helper, he will come down into your soul. And his presence in your soul is actually superior to my own. We talked a lot about that last week. If you weren't here, I would encourage you to listen to that because it's very foundational for what I'm even going to teach today. And what Jesus will get into in this teaching is he'll ask this question, how do you know if the Spirit is living in your soul, right? Spirit is unseen. Jesus was a person. You could tell very easily if he was in the room, right? Were people getting healed? Were miracles taking place? Was his teaching authoritative? Well, Jesus is in the room. But what about the Spirit? He's unseen. How do you know if the Spirit comes in and changes things in your life? How do you know? Answer, you begin to bear fruit, right? And what that illustration is getting at is this, is that you take a seed and you put it down in the ground and it gets what it needs. It gets sunlight, it gets nutrients, it gets water. It is a guarantee that something will spring up. So some of you, Jerry Ann, I think, was planting things recently, saw on Facebook. And wouldn't you know it, a week later, she posts a picture that things are beginning to grow, right? So if you go outside, I just learned this weekend that I need to start cutting my grass now. Why? Because it's starting to grow. It's growing all over the place. And what Jesus says is that if the Spirit comes into your life, if you're connected to me, then you will grow. And then he takes it a step further. I want to draw your attention to. Look with me at verse 2. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. How many of you kids here know what it means to prune something? Right? And don't confuse this with what your parents give you when you have a bellyache. Okay, different type of pruning. Right? So what I have here is I have these pruning device of sorts. And, you know, I'm from the city, so we never did this. This is all, like, this is a stretch for me. You know, this whole thing. You see this here, Lily? You know, guess what this is used for? Can you guess? Right? Well, this is used to cut things off. So that's why we're really careful around fingers. You don't want to get your finger in there because we can just whoosh, cut it right off. And what the gardener does, right, what the gardener does is she will go to trees, to vines, to branches, and we'll look at areas of growth coming out of the vine that are unhelpful towards the overall growth of the vine itself or of the tree or of the bush, and they'll prune it, snip it right off. And what happens when that's done is that the resources of the vine can then be focused on those parts that are good. And so what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying if you're connected to me, that is to say, if you have the Spirit in your life, then what God will do, because he loves you, is he will prune away the things in your life that are unhelpful. And that helps answer this question, why is it that God would send us into a hostile place? Why would he send us into a place where people hate us, where things are hard, where things break? Why would he do that? Is he cruel? Answer, no. He sends us into that place precisely because it is in that place. It is in the desert. It is in the place of hostility. It is in the battlefield where you experience this idea of pruning, where God will prune things out of your life. Why? Answer, because he loves you and he wants you to grow. You see, what this passage will indicate is that the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely devoted to your growth. He is devoted to it. You know, he has chosen you for the purpose of growing. I love... Let me raise this up for the kids. Was I chosen for Jesus' mission by accident? Answer, no. God chose me on purpose. Will the mission to grow and change be easy? No. God plans hard things to happen to me so I can grow and change. Kids, you can write that down. Pastor Rick Warren had this to say, this kind of catapulted through our world, not just our nation, but our world, when the book was released, A Purpose-Driven Life. Anyone read that book? right? Very popular. Why was it so popular, I think? Answer, because he told us something that we already knew, namely that we are here for a reason, that we are here on purpose. And when he says this, you are made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will never make sense. And friends, one of the questions this passage calls us to ask this morning is this: do you actually believe that? Do you believe that God is working in your life on purpose, not on accident, for the purpose of you growing and changing and bearing fruit? You see, if you don't understand that, life will not make any sense and you will be confined to misery. And you won't understand God either, right? Because if you look at God as simply kind of a heavenly butler — does anyone know what a butler is? Kids, you may not know what butlers are. You know what a butler is? What's a butler? Is he the guy that murders the person in the mystery theater? That's right. Very good, young man. He says that a butler is kind of like a sidekick who does things for you that brings you breakfast, right? Well said. I never thought of the word sidekick. That's wonderful. Well, friends, I think that what this passage is causing me to ask, and I hope that you allow it to ask you this as well, is how do you view God? Is God someone that you simply go to when you need something, kind of like a butler, and say, God, I'm hungry. So give me something to eat so I can go on and play with my life. See, God, you know, Jesus will meet needs, and we love to pray for needs, and we want to be about that here. But Jesus says, I'm about meeting your needs. Why? So that I can send you out into a hostile place so that you can grow and change. If you view God meeting your needs simply as to kind of get the hard things off your back, you will never, ever, ever truly be satisfied, because you will misunderstand what it is he's doing. Jesus is after your growth and change. He's after fruit in your life. He's after good things springing up out of your life. And the way that that happens is by being connected to him, being put into difficult times and places, and allowing the Father's pruning work to bring forth beautiful things from your life. So kids, what I want you to do is I want you to draw a picture of something hard happening to you. Maybe you're the one getting the cereal dumped on your head. Right? That could be an opportunity for pruning. Who knows? Draw something hard happening to you. So, what we learn in this passage is that you are chosen on purpose. The hard things that happen are, to some extent, on purpose. And Jesus says, I do that so that fruit would come out of your life. Now, how many of you noticed Mrs. Pesnell when she came up? Right? Very lovely lady, Mrs. Pesnell. And every Sunday, what typically happens is that I will go out and select an outfit to wear. It's my uniform. And I will check with her, and I will say, Chrissy, you know, is this acceptable or not? And every Sunday, she'll say, no, it looks horrible. And I will go back and change, and then I will ask a second time. And, you know, but this Sunday, the roles might be a little bit reversed. So, Chrissy, stand up if you would. So, Chrissy, very lovely, very, very beautiful colors, but there's these grapes hanging off of her shirt. And, you know, you might be wondering what that's about. And there is a reality in which Chrissy has beginning to lose her mind a little bit. So, you know, we love her anyway, and that's okay. One of these days I'll have health insurance and can send her for some treatment. But in all seriousness, what Chrissy is showing here is that God is about this process of bringing forth tasty, good, pleasant things out of your life. Question is, what does that look like? What does it look like to bear fruit? Jesus uses this metaphor. What kind of stuff is he after? Well, the passage tells us in verses 12 through 13. Let me put that up here. Jesus says this. He's very plain with his disciples. No mystery here. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Excuse me. So what Jesus is after here, he's saying, I'm after fruit in your life. What does that fruit look like? He takes all the mystery away. He says, I want to increase your love for one another. And friends, I will tell you, as a relatively new minister, And I like to say that I'm naive, but I'm also a fast learner. And this is what I've found so far. So much pain and toil and suffering and conflict boils down to one issue. Will I love others? Right? There's all sorts of realities that are happening in this life, but I'll tell you just from a broad stroke, so much comes down to this issue of, will I love others? And the question is, well, how do you love? What does that look like? Jesus tells us, right? Right up here. As I have loved you. How has he loved us? Well, he tells us again. He loves us by laying down his life for his friends. So much of what you will deal with in this life will ultimately stem from this question of, can I love others like this? Can I respond to aggression like this? When I'm criticized at home, right? Do I respond in kind or do I respond like this? When someone needs something from me, do I complain or do I respond like this? Jesus is saying is that everything I'm doing in your life has this as its goal and purpose, that you would love in a way that is absolutely profound, absolutely profound. It's life-changing. And friends, I will tell you that, one of the things we want to see in this church is we want to see this church grow and welcome in those who are kind of unfamiliar with church. That's our mission. One of the most key elements to that happening is each and every one of you getting a hold of this kind of love. People can tell the difference, I will assure you. When you come in a room, you can tell the difference where people are here because it's convenient or people are here because their lives have been changed, and out of the change of their lives comes this kind of commitment, this kind of love, this kind of willingness to sacrifice for each other. It's absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely fragrant. And Jesus says, this, my dear friends, is what I'm up to and after in your life. And I will tell you something else. This is just a little bit of pastoral insight that you don't normally hear. Like I said, I'm very naive, but I'm a quick learner. But this is what I've learned in my short tenure here. And I say this with absolute love and to encourage you in what I'm calling you to. This is very, very important here. We are all really messed up. Just so you know. Every single one, from the least to the greatest, every single one of us has a lot of problems. I just want to tell you, it was a little overwhelming when I first started. I remember meeting with someone and he's like, I've been through a really hard time recently. And I said, wow, well, tell me about it. And he said, well, the other day my wife tried to kill me. I said, yeah, that sounds pretty hard. Right? That was my second appointment, I think, as a pastor. He's not here with us, but wish that he were. But I will just tell you, in all seriousness, the people you're sitting next to that look so wonderful, they're all so lovely. You are all so lovely people, right? But each and every one of us, myself included, and perhaps foremost, is a deeply broken human being. And I wonder how many of you kind of have a hard time living this out because you feel as though you're unworthy to do so. Well, why would I go and care for this person who seems like they have it all together when if I do that, they'll find out how messed up I really am? Why would I go and do that? Certainly they don't need that. Certainly it's better that I just hide and protect myself. And Jesus, and I will tell you that what you will find out is that each and every one of us is deeply in need. And some of the most incredible relationships are formed when you take the step of being vulnerable with each other and saying, you know what, I'm a flawed person, but I want to love you as Christ has loved me. That's beautiful. That's what Jesus is after. That's the fruit that he's seeking in your life. So, kids, here we go. What kind of fruit does God want you to bear? Answer, the fruit of love, to love others as God loves me. Go ahead and write that in. And kids, what I'd like you to do is to draw a big vine or a big tree. I guess we don't have vines that much around here. Maybe we do. I don't have any in my yard at the moment. I think we've pruned them all away. What I'd like you to do is draw a heart-shaped fruit growing all over it. So you're going to draw a tree and then draw a little heart kind of coming out of the tree. And then what I want you to do, all of you kids, is I want you to draw a picture of someone God has placed in your life that he is calling you to love and serve. Okay? Draw the tree, draw the fruit, draw someone in your life he's calling you to serve. Now, this is perhaps the most important point. What Jesus has called us to is he said, I'm designing circumstances, I'm sending you out on my own authority so that you would produce this fruit of love. And as you're all feeling, as I'm feeling, it's absolutely overwhelming to be about that. It's to love as Christ has loved seems like an impossible task. And to do so fully is in fact an impossible task. But the question will arise, how in the world do you love someone like this? And one of the other things I've learned is that you don't love someone like this simply by sheer willpower. So when I talk to folks who are struggling with this, you know, you'll never hear me say, just try harder, right? If you're having trouble loving your spouse, just try harder. Just try harder. That's all you do, right? I don't get, you know, what I found is that typically doesn't work. And that's not what Jesus says here. You see, what Jesus says is this, if you're going to grow, if you're going to bear fruit, what must be true? Does anyone know? Any kids know? What's absolutely necessary for a branch to kind of sprout out beautiful leaves or a vine to sprout out beautiful grapes? What must be true? Anyone know? Sorry? Rooted. She said rooted in the word, and that's very good. What Jesus says is that you must abide in me, verse 4. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And friends, what Jesus is saying here is this. The only way that you love in the way that I'm calling you to love, the only way that you grow and change is when you are connected to me so that my power, my love, my spirit flows out from out of you. And it's only when that happens that you will actually grow and change and become a different person than you were when you walked in here. Only when you abide in me. Now, what does that look like to abide in Christ? It's kind of nebulous. Well, what Scripture will bear out and what Jesus will even indicate in this passage is this. You have to know Christ's love for you until it begins to change you. So let me show you a couple verses from other passages. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:14. He says, for the love of Christ controls us. And what he's getting at there is he's saying, we have received such love from this person that it begins to influence our lives in such a way that it exercises control over our lives in a good way. Or what about this one? We love because he first loved us. What John is saying is the only reason that love pours out of our lives is because Christ has first loved us, and that has an effect on our lives. Now, I have not yet had the privilege of attending Dessert and Devotion, our wonderful women's group that I hear such good stuff about. But from what I have these, you know, I have these spies that go and they tell me, you know, what's happening there. And what's happening is the ladies are studying the book of Ephesians, right? Really rich stuff coming out of Ephesians. And folks that are part of that study, let me ask you a question. What comes first in the book, first three chapters? How you need to love other people or how God has loved you? Anyone know? Anyone know? Not the teacher. Anyone else paying attention? What comes first? Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. As God has loved you. It's the same pattern in every epistle. Paul sends three chapters, and he will close chapter 3 saying, I am going to pray that you would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you're going to know something so incredibly otherworldly, so incredibly profound, that it is described to surpass knowledge. And you look at all the epistles, they all follow this pattern. Understand, take in, drink up how much God has loved you, and then from that place, go out and love other people. That's the way it works. It's always that same pattern in Scripture. Once you understand how much Christ has loved you, what that does is it provides influence into your life. So kids, I want to give you the last kind of set of questions and answers here. How can I love others? Answer, by being connected to Jesus' love for me. Being connected to Jesus' love is like what? It's like being a branch that grows on the vine bearing fruit. And kids, what you can do is draw some vine and branches growing out of a cross-covered out of the cross, covered with heart-shaped fruit. So vine, branches, cross, heart. It's going to be beautiful. But friends, as we move towards this table that's before us, I hope that you can see and hear so powerfully what's being displayed. You see, we have wine and we have grape juice. What are these products? You know what they are? Jesus will call to them, they are the fruit of the vine. This is the fruit that Jesus bore. And what Scripture tells us is that he had to lay down his lives in order to set this table that's before you. And what this table does is it invites you to take inside of you the love of Christ in such a way that you actually feel it. And the intent behind that is that you come to this place absolutely broken, absolutely in need, absolutely messed up, and it begins to produce in you something beautiful. It begins to produce in you something that's otherworldly. You begin to become a different person. Why? Because you are feeding on the love of Christ and you're connected to him. And when that happens, beautiful things come forth from your life. Jesus will use this language earlier in the passage. He'll say, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. What he is getting at is this. If your life is absolutely devoid of fruit, is absolutely devoid of this kind of love, it could be because you're not connected to the vine, right? So I have here, let's see, with this prop. So, yes, it's lawn season here in Phoenixville, and I've got this branch, and this branch will never bear fruit, I assure you. Why? Because it's been severed. It's not connected to the vine. Has no nutrients. And so it is guaranteed to be useful for one thing, to be thrown away. And so friends, Jesus gives us this warning, and I want to give it to you as well, that there is no life to be found on this planet if you are not connected to Jesus in such a way that you are taking in his love to the extent that it begins to change you. That is what he calls you to this morning. That is what this table will speak so clearly and so loudly. That is my desire for you. Could we become these people that love each other in this way because we have tasted of Christ and it has changed us? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your great love for your church. We thank you that you have worked in your church such beautiful things. Lord, you have loved us to such an extent that we cannot help but be changed. Lord, would you have your way with us this morning? Would you bring us to a deeper love, to a deeper a joy in you? Would you allow fruit and worship and service and sacrifice to come out of this congregation in great measure? And would it bring glory to your Father, we pray in his name. Amen.